The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." This is the gospel of the Lord. Our gospel reading for today is probably one of the best and also one of the hardest to hear. In our gospel reading, there were two servants and money was owed. The first servant owed money to the second servant, who was so angry he wanted repaid. And even though the first servant was begging to have his debt forgiven, the second servant refused. Even though the first servant was begging to be released from what he owed, the second servant refused. Even though the first servant was pleading to have his debt canceled with tears, the second servant showed no mercy. A husband is unfaithful to his wife. The wife was so mad, and rightfully so. Her husband owed her faithfulness, and he didn't give it. But the husband became crushed for what he did. And even though the husband came begging on his knees to be forgiven, the wife refused. Even though the husband pleaded to be released from his failure to be faithful, the wife wasn't going to release him so easily. She was hurt. Even though they remained together for the rest of their lives and the husband remained faithful, he still pleaded to have his debt canceled. But the wife would always seem to bring up his past unfaithfulness in subtle ways and not so subtle ways. For the rest of their lives. Granted, he was unfaithful and completely wrong for being unfaithful. But in the end, they both paid for the rest of their lives. A mother and father are cruel to their young son. They were supposed to love him, but they didn't. They made fun of him. They yelled at him. As the years passed, the parents realized how wrong their son, how they had wronged him. And now their son was full grown. So they apologized to their grown son in tears. They begged for him to forgive them. But the son just couldn't. The parents pleaded for their son to release them from the guilt they felt. But he just couldn't. He thought it was their time to hurt now. The parents begged to have their debt canceled, wiped clean by their son. But he just couldn't do it. And years later, he buried both his parents. while he himself was just buried with regret for the rest of his life. There's no doubt that we get hurt by others in this life. That is a fact. Moms and dads, brothers and sisters, friends, co-workers, we are sometimes hurt most by those closest to us. And in fact, I think we're always hurt most by those closest to us. And I bet each and every one of you here could write up a laundry list of the ways you feel you have been wronged in life. Wronged by parents, wronged by spouses, wronged by children and friends. The list could probably go on and on. And I have no doubt you have been hurt over the years in very real ways. Very real. Very painful ways. No doubt about it. There are people who have owed you and failed you. No doubt. It's also easy for us to look around and see the people who owe us, and we also owe them. Very easy to do that. But let's also remember that you have a relationship with someone far greater than a husband or wife, greater than a mother or father, greater than a brother or sister. After all, each and every one of you are a child of God, your heavenly Father, God, to whom you owe fear. You owe God love. You owe God trust. You owe God above everything else in your life, everything else and everyone else. It's one thing to point out what your husband or wife owes you, but what do you owe God? It's one thing for you to point out what your friends and co-workers owe you, but what do you owe God? How well have you paid that debt in your life? Probably not well. I bet you owe. I know I do. You owe God respect. We are God's children after all. And even earthly parents deserve respect. But does your heavenly Father always receive the respect from you he deserves? Does he receive the first fruits from your wallet for his work in this world? Or does he get tossed the leftovers from your table like a dog on the floor? What would happen if Jesus returned today and said to you, "You failed me. You owed me complete faithfulness above everything else, and you didn't give it. You owe me love more than anything else in your life, and you did not give it. You owe me respect more than anything else you respect in your life, and often I came in last." And what would be hardest about those words that Jesus speaks to us is that they're true. Because of our sinful flesh, because of our old Adam, we will never be able to love God like we should. We will never be able to be faithful to God like we should. Forget a husband or wife's unfaithfulness to us. Look at our unfaithfulness to God. Forget the respect a son won't give to his parents. Look at the daily lack of respect we show to our God. Forget the money owed between one servant and another. Love of money often easily trumps our love for God and love for his work that he does in this world through his church. So what are we to do? The only thing we can do, we get on our knees and beg for mercy. Pray for mercy. Plead to have our debt to God forgiven. And we don't have to beg like parents wondering if their son will forgive them. And we don't have to worry like a husband wondering if his wife will forgive him. And we don't have to worry if a servant's debt will be forgiven by another servant. Because you know how Jesus responds to you. He does not remind you of your sin for the rest of your life, does he? Jesus does not make you regret your sin. He doesn't bring up your sin in subtle and not so subtle ways. Because Jesus is just like the good master in the parable. He forgives your sin. He releases you from what you owe him. He cancels all the debt that you've racked up in your whole life. And that canceling of your debt didn't come cheaply, did it? It came at a cost. It just didn't cost you anything. Now, it cost Jesus everything, but you, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because for you, Jesus stretches out his arms for you, and he dies for you. Dies on a cross for everything we owe God. Jesus pays all your debts to God. Jesus pays for the respect we owed God and couldn't pay ourselves. Jesus pays for the faithfulness we owed God and could never pay for ourselves. Do you remember Jesus' last words on the cross? As Jesus was dying on a cross for you and for me, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." Father, forgive them. Release them. Cancel their debt. That's what forgiveness means. In his moment of death, Jesus forgave you. He released you from what you owed him. He canceled your debt. And he did it in blood. He canceled your debt with his life. He canceled what you owed God by giving his sacrifice to God. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is the stoning of Saint Stephen. Now, I know a stoning may not sound like a great passage of Scripture, but allow me to tell you why. Stephen was a young man full of the Holy Spirit who gave a wonderful testimony to the world about Jesus Christ. And the world hated him for it, and they stoned him to death. But as Stephen was dying, he gave an even greater testimony to this world. Because in his last words, he said, "Lord Jesus, do not hold this sin against them." As he was being killed, as he was being stoned to death, Stephen released the men around him from their sin of killing him. He released people as they were killing him. And if Stephen can do that, surely you can forgive your husband or wife and release them from their sin against you. If Stephen can forgive people while he is being killed, surely you can share Christ's mercy to your own parents and forgive them, whether they are still living or have already died. Release them. If Stephen can forgive people while he is being killed, surely you can forgive your neighbor and co-worker. And people who have wronged you that you may not even know their name. Believe me when I say this, I'm not saying they deserve it. No one deserves forgiveness. I don't deserve to be forgiven. You don't deserve to be forgiven. That's why forgiveness is a gift to you because of Jesus Christ. And forgiveness can also be a gift from you to others also because of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.